I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Drake May with a couple of turnovers, a few of them actually, two interceptions, two fumbles. He only lost one of them, and that was the one you just heard right there. Costly penalty at the time as they were driving. It was not a great blocking display there by Bedarian Lowe as he let, what was the guy's name, Arden Lee or whatever, the defensive end. It wasn't Simmons. He ended up recovering the fumble. But yeah, he comes around the corner. May doesn't sense him. Looks like he's trying to get rid of the ball over to Jamichael Hasty just to dump it off. I think probably should have just gone down there. I think at that point he knew that there was a pursuit, even though it wasn't great blocking to begin with. He did step up a little bit, and that was a costly turnover there. They were all costly turnovers, and that's another reason why I think the defense needs a little bit of grace here. Only 20 points in overtime when you turn the ball over three times is nothing really to be ashamed of, I don't think. It wasn't great. It wasn't their best, and the Titans are a bad team, but I think those conditions sort of made for it. And this is sort of a thing. May had the two interception game, but this is the first time that I think, you know, you look at these things. There was a couple other games and a couple other instances where they dropped interceptions on the opposing defense, and, you know, we sort of just brushed it off and said, well, you know, it's not an interception, so let's not worry about it too much. That wasn't the case this time. It was the same guy both times. It was Hooker both times picking him off. The first interception was, I mean, as you said, Mac Jones-esque. The second one was a little bit different. It's overtime. You're trying to make a big chunk play down the field. There were some other things that we discussed as well that went into that, or maybe the booty could have made more of a play, whatever. The fumble, though, I think the fumble was one that, when I look at that, that's one of those things that's less, okay, this is a rookie taking a chance down the field. This was more the stuff that I think people were worried about when they said you can't put May behind this line. He's going to get hit too much. He's going to get sacked a lot. There's going to be turnovers, things like that. That's more where I sort of look at this one, and I don't know. I mean, May after the game was accountable. You're right about that, and I think anybody who was impressed by that should be. But he should have been accountable about that play. That was his bad. He fumbled.
Well, yeah. I mean, then the blocking was bad, and like there's always factors in those. And right. I also think some of those are cumulative. When you start to, we talked about it early in the year. I thought Jacoby Brissett stopped looking downfield and started to anticipate getting the hell out of Dodge, because he knew most times he had to get the hell out of Dodge.
Right.
Like, there's a negative cumulative effect of having a bad offensive line, having consistent pressure. And I just think some of those are going to happen. But also, he was unfortunate with the timing, because I do think he was kind of running with two hands on the ball, and then he took it off for just like a sec. It was like he won, and then that's right when he came in.
Yep.
With the tomahawk and the whole tackle the ball, not just the guy. And those are I actually thought one of the worst plays was, speaking of dropped interceptions, was the Bourne play down the left sideline where he got caught in between, am I throwing a fade? Am I throwing a back shoulder play? And he kind of hit the guy right in the hands.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the things I would like you to get rid of. Don't be indecisive. Like, to me, that was a rookie learning experience. You got away with it. Didn't end up being a turnover. But the turnovers don't really bother me. And I know that sounds weird, but I go back to Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions.
Right.
Like, you're going to make – Josh Allen made some hellacious throws. People used to mock Josh Allen.
Yeah. The Josh Allen comps yesterday were accurate for that, I'd say, yes.
And so, like – and then this year, before yesterday, I know Josh Allen had 14 touchdowns and one pick without his best receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So that maturation, that learning curve – and he had picks last year, I know. That was one of the criticisms, and some of it's coaching, and they're giving Joe Brady credit for turning some things around and with that offense in Buffalo. But that's the reality of the game. You're going to have turnovers. You're going to have that learning experience, especially – and you brought this up to lead – how bad the talent is around him.
Yeah.
Is he trying to do too much? Probably. You know why? Because he has to.
Feels like he has to.
He's
a
competitor. I mean, remember his first words? Some of his first words when we found out he was starting was, we need a win.
Yep.
We need to, like, he's fixated on winning. I don't want to be the one to tell him. I'm not sure you're surrounded by a team that's capable of winning many games. You want to win, but can you win? Can you will this group, this roster that you said, you know, you probably, there's three or four good players on the roster, and then you're looking for like 50 other players that need to be improved.
Mm-hmm.
Can he will this team to win? No. And that, therefore, he's going to try to do too much. And when he tries to do too much, there's going to be mistakes involved. Some of these offensive success plays he's had are probably plays where he tried to do too much.
Yeah.
But he's capable of doing too much sometimes.
Yeah,
and succeeding in it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's finding that balance, but they're not good enough for him to just take the ones that are there. Because if they just take the ones that are there, I think he's going to punt 90% of the time.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. His interception total is now up to 4. That's 1 fewer than Caleb Williams and 2 more than Jaden Daniels, if we're keeping score at home here, with the top 3 picks, which I think is relevant because those guys have played in more games than May has.
Yeah, but they don't have Terry McLaurin.
That's true. I mean, they definitely don't. They don't
or
have
Cliff
DJ
Kingsbury.
Moore. Or Cliff Kingsbury. Or Keenan Allen or Rome Odunze or these other
right.
guys. Fine. I agree with all that, but we're talking about interceptions here, and I think when I talk about those, I refer more to decision-making, right? I mean, that's more of a decision-making question,
so
I think, sometimes for him.
Would you prefer he were just throwing everything away?
Not everything.
Because, I mean, he's running for his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing to covered receivers. There's a lot of
that first interception, I'd rather he just thrown it away.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But
at least the other one, he put it up there. I mean, it wasn't a good throw. But
all the scrambles, do you want him to just kind of roll out and throw it into the ground at the feet of somebody? Like that might
and point, not scramble?
Yeah, my point is, I think if he took the safe way most times, you would be a terrible offense. If he took the safe way almost every time.
Maybe.
He's trying to make plays.
Okay, but is Daniels doing the safe thing every time? Like, I don't think so.
I don't think he's anywhere near as challenged offensively as Drake May is. This is a horrific offense.
It's bad.
Other than Carolina. And Carolina has more competent receivers. Still, they traded one away and they still have more competent
mm-hmm.
receivers than you.
Yeah.
This is a really, really bad offense. And
you take McLaurin out of that wide receiver group in Washington, though, it's not much different from yours.
No, I know.
But it's not much different, but he is out there.
You put McLaurin on this group, and it's a lot different.
It is, but
he's a
I still
true
think
number
it's
one receiver.
Not good. I still think you're a tough offense, even with McLaurin here.
Sure.
You know?
But I bet you he'd be throwing in McLaurin with some confidence.
Yeah, probably.
Like, there's something to be said for that in the coverage, the double coverage, the rolling of safeties to a number one receiver. I just, could he take safer plays? I don't want him to do that. You know why? Because I don't think that's going to be his game. At good or bad, like down the road, I don't think he's going to turn into Jacoby Brissett or Jason Campbell or Kirk Cousins, like this check down Charlie
mm-hmm.
kind of guy.
No, I don't think so either.
He's going to try to make plays. He's going to learn mistakes trying to make plays now while surrounded by very little talent. Down the road, he'll try to make plays with more capable playmakers around him, and I think you're going to reap the fruits then, so you get to deal with the downs right now.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Joe in Melrose. He has a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. So, no, I'm really excited about Drake May. I thought he had a great game. I've never been more high about the future of the franchise with him as our quarterback. We're really lucky to have him, very grateful to have him. You know, I mean, with the turnovers you're talking about, the first interception was bad, but, like, the strip sack fumble wasn't his fault, and running back should have recovered it. And then the thing is that interception to at the end of the game, the last play of the game, Bourne tripped his own feet, so the safety knew he didn't have to cover him. I mean, that wasn't Drake May's fault either. But
well, okay, Kendrick Bourne's tripping didn't mean he had to underthrow it by 4 yards. I'm tired of people just saying that, like, Kendrick Bourne's the reason he underthrew the ball. He had nothing to do with it. It wasn't a good throw, and it was kind of a dumb decision.
Kendrick Bourne's not the reason why he underthrew the ball. I mean, but the ball would have been completed if Bourne didn't, like, trip over his feet because the safety would have covered him. You know, anyway.
Maybe
he
would have, I don't know,
is,
it looked like he was turning to go cover
plus
him.
Plus, the reason
already,
he underthrew the ball is because his coach decided to go into the wind in overtime.
That, too. I mean, that probably didn't help.
Well, I only have two, like, kind of second guesses again. One, at the end of the first half with AVP, he's got to go try to score points in that situation. I mean, you got to double up. You have to score at the end of the half and right out at the beginning of the second half. That's why Brady and Belichick did it for years. And the fact that he, like, just called running plays at the end of the half is a brutal and not giving yourself a chance to win. And the other thing is, you know, like, for the love of God, Drake May's got to get down and slide. He can't be taking these extra hits, you know? I mean, he's got to protect himself because he is our franchise.
Yeah, we'll ask him about that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And I disagree with you on some of the turnovers. But in general, I think, you know, your heart's in the right place with that. And there were some interesting ends to those runs. Very interesting ends to those runs. I don't know how much that was emphasized over the course of the week when you're in the concussion protocol. Is that something you're allowed to even practice? How you fall, how you, you know, defend yourself after a long run if you're a quarterback, all that sort of stuff? I feel like it should be, but I don't know. I don't know exactly what they let you do or not do in the protocol. We can ask Drake May about it, but you did notice the slides weren't quite as common. You were seeing him dive forward a couple of times.
Just like I told you.
You saw him jump to the side one time. Like, he was doing all sorts of weird stuff.
It wasn't perfect, though.
It definitely wasn't perfect.
I do advocate. I think there is an argument to be made for going head first, controlling where you go, doing those things. And it seemed like that was the approach he was taking.
Right.
With, I would say, mixed results. There was the one time where Kenneth Murray, your guy, tried to rip his head off.
Yeah.
I thought that was borderline a penalty.
Yeah, he hit his head off the turf there,
yeah.
Too.
And then he did took a good hit off the turf there. But it did seem, because Gerard Mayo actually commented something about, you know, you're telling the guy all week to slide and get out of bounds, and then you're going to tell him to go forward. I forgot what it was, but I was like, oh, so you were telling him to slide and go out of bounds all week. He wasn't doing either. He had one good out of bounds run where he got the first down and did the little Mahomes out of bounds after the sticks.
A little tap dance there, yeah.
But otherwise, he was being, I thought, aggressive, which I like. I'm advocating for. I think he's a better athlete and in control more often going forward than the slide that just puts his head at risk of getting killed. But I know, who was it that was yelling at me that said he's going to be paralyzed for life if he keeps...
Oh, Shane in Plymouth. Yeah,
Shane
right.
in Plymouth. Why don't you come yell today? Yell when Drake May's on, because Drake May's on my side. He's going head first, buddy.
Yep, he was diving head first, no question. 617-779-7937. First of all, we'll hear from Stiz what's trending. And on the other side, we'll talk about the offense. Is this offense going to drag Drake May down? And what's the plan for the rest of this year? We'll look at the schedule. We'll see if these games, any more of them, are winnable, and how they're going to be treating him and protecting him or not protecting him, maybe, through the rest of this season, what that's going to look like here through the last 8 weeks. 617-779-7937. Here's Stiz.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gerard Mayo, Drake May, commenting on May's running, his hitting the deck, the concussion protocol, which is something I thought Gerard Mayo struggled with a bit, maybe, this morning with Greg Hill and Curtis grilling him about that. I thought that wasn't his best series of answers. I thought he got a little, I don't know, it seemed like he was concerned that he was going to say the wrong thing, and he didn't even want to touch it. We'll see how Drake May responds to questions about that, too, because I just like to be taken through the process. I don't know, you know, like, you're in the game, you take a shot, you're slow to get up, like, take me through it. So then what happens? You go over there, who talks to you, who brought you out? What happened after that? Who'd you have to keep in contact with? And how was practice that week? Like, all that stuff. I'm very interested in it. Only because I really think that there's not a lot of things that can slow down the train that is the NFL. Like, TV contracts, deals, scandals. Not much, really, I think, can stand in the way. This train is just too strong. Except for the head injury stuff. That's the, because that payout was just so massive. And I just feel like if they ever uncovered, and these lawyers will find ways to do it, and there's agents and people we both know who are advocates for this concussion stuff and making sure that the league takes it seriously, and that they, if they don't, that they get compensated for it and all this stuff. So I my eye's always on that, my antenna's always up around that, because $800 million or whatever it was that they had to pay out in the last settlement is something that you know they don't want to do, and you know they're going to try and avoid no matter what. So I'm interested in seeing what that process is like, how it's done, what they do, how someone who it seems like the team didn't even really believe had a concussion in the first place gets treated maybe differently from someone who gets spotted by the team. Like, all that stuff I'm interested in. So we'll ask Drake May about it. We'll see how much he's willing to discuss here. I'm not expecting to get a in-depth answer about it, but I would like to know. You know, well, I'd like to know at least what it was like from his perspective.
And remember, he declined to get into, in London, the MRI thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, we don't really like to talk about injuries or whatever, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is he sidesteps it. It is, like, the problem with it is it's not a black and white issue.
Right.
It's there's a lot of gray area. Like, I dealt with it with my son had a concussion, and you have to get, like, the pediatrician to sign off first. Before then, like, the school trainer has to sign off after that. And they have legitimate return-to-play protocols through medical doctors and the MIAA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar where there's, like, I want to say it's a six-day process. Like, you can't just do it.
Yeah.
Like, once they have determined you have a head injury, there's 6 days coming. So don't, you know, say, I feel better at day three. Okay, that's great. So you'll make it to day four. And then you'll make it to day five. And they'll do that process. So I am interested in that, just that it has – obviously, team trainers are involved. Mm-hmm. I would think team doctors are involved. And then the league is involved. And how do those parties all kind of encompass it? And I agree with you. And the other thing is, because of Tua in part, it's an even bigger deal.
Right.
To, like, first, you have the original CTE and the leagues and the lawsuits and all of that. But now you have a very fresh quarterback example.
Who's playing now and who just came back and is still going.
And... Yeah. Had injuries to the head
right.
That every viewer said, that's not right.
Right.
I'm not a doctor. I don't really give a care about your protocols or your tests. I can tell you with mine eyes, that ain't right.
Right.
Right? You didn't need to sit there and say, Tua, say the months backwards and I'll time you to know he had a concussion. You knew he was effed up because
yep.
You could see him effed up on the field in front of you.
Yeah. It looked like he had rigor mortis.
Right.
More
of them are like this, where it's like, oh... He did get hit in the head,
mm-hmm.
And should we test
get
him?
Up. I mean, you know, he didn't pop right back
right.
up like guys do sometimes.
And did he, you know, when they're doing the testing, did he trigger something? Did he not
right.
answer something properly? Again, we can ask him, but he mentioned some stumble on the turf that he attributes to his cleat and the turf more so than his inability, right? Like that he didn't have a balance issue.
Mm.
But the problem is you can't, like, you know the thermometers the doctors use, they rub on your forehead?
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Why can't we come up with that? Now, I'm being facetious a little bit here. But that would solve everything, right?
Boop, concussions, all
concussion, right?
Yeah.
It's either green or red. Green, you go back in the game. Red,
yep.
You're out. It'd be nice if we have that, but we don't.
No, we do not. Do you think this offense will drag Drake May down? I mean, it's his rookie year, and he hasn't played the full year. But these are the moments where you pick things up. These are important reps. These are things that I think could harm his progression. I don't know if it's going to drag him all the way down, but I think his progression could be stunted by this offense. Are you worried about that?
Am I a little worried? Yes, I'd have to be honest. I'm a little worried. When you see a game like that where he's 97% of your offense,
yeah.
And he's running for his life at times and different things.
Against one of the worst teams in the league, too, by
yes.
the way.
Right? Now, on paper, their defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
They had, like, the number one pass defense. And
they are number one in yards against this year,
yeah.
Coming into the game. They were, like, 30th in points against, but one
some
in yards.
Some of that's
against.
A little circumstantial,
which means
I think.
Other teams' offenses are very efficient, I guess. But, yeah.
But on the whole, no, because I'm going to be annoying like a toothache. No kidding. We already know that, Andy. That you can't break a diamond. And, like, these are just reps for a really good player. These are reps that, like, he'll get through this, you know. Tough times don't last, but tough people do, kind
right.
of thing. And I think he's a tough player, but there has to always be that concern. Even just, we watched it here with a number one overall pick in the early 90s in Drew Bledsoe.
Mm-hmm.
He got the snot kicked out of him to the point where Ernie Adams, a decade later, is calling him a wildebeest or something,
right? Yeah.
Right? Like he's just taking hits on the Serengeti yeah. or something like that. So, yeah, you have to have mild concerns. And there's also the evolution of his game once he starts to succeed. Like, Cam Newton's a guy whose career didn't last as long.
I was just thinking about him. He played a long time. He never really had great wide receivers. Kelvin Benjamin's probably the best
yep.
wide receiver ever had, and he ate himself out of the league. So, like, that's – and he ran a lot. He was sort of a one-man show.
And he got
I
beat up.
I think there's a lot of comparisons there with May and Newton, I think.
And that's – those are all concerns. You want to see
yeah.
him maximize his abilities so that you can maximize his abilities, right? Like,
yeah.
as a team, you want to have – the support cast the system so that the wow plays are there, but the ouch plays aren't. And that's a needle that needs to be thread. And that's Elliot Wolf. That's the collaborative. And I don't have a lot of faith in that group right now, if
yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Fair enough.
And the onus is on them to make sure they don't waste Drake May.
Did Newton and Steve Smith overlap, or was he in Baltimore by then?
No, I think they overlapped.
They played a few years together, right? Maybe. So. All right, so Smith was their best receiver. But he didn't play his whole career with Smith or anything, and I think that that's a good comparison. That was a guy who was number one overall, obviously.
But when they won, it was
a weapon. And it was, yeah, he dragged, he put him on
their fullback, I'm a throw, like, yeah. And that's not really sustainable, that's especially when it's a running version of it. That's why, honestly, like Lamar Jackson's been really impressive to do what he's done, and he's stayed healthy. Now, this year, he might have one of the better supporting casts he's ever had, and see how far he can go.
Yeah, we'll see about that. 617-779-7937. We got a lot of people waiting patiently here, so let's go to Tim in Hanover, who has a thought on Drake May. Hi, Tim.
Andy, Christian, good afternoon.
What's up?
I just want to say, Andy, your boy played a great game, all right? It's all a learning curve for this kid. Every week he gets better and better, and that's the thing. Since they opened up the offense, I talked about that 2 weeks ago, and here it is. I talked about the way he slides. He ran out and got out of bounds without getting into a confrontation, and he's going forward. Dive away from these guys going forward, landing on your side, and tuck that ball away so you're not losing it. The thing is with this kid, the only thing he's got to pick up, he's got that 2 second drop back, and then from there he's got to decide, get out and watch his tackle take on the DN. Whatever he does, he goes the opposite way and then take whatever he gets or find somebody and nail him.
All right.
Throw the ball away if it ain't there and come back another day.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate it. I think that one big difference here between Drake May, Josh Allen, Cam Newton, some of these other guys, you're not seeing them do a QB draw for short yardage. Like, you're not seeing May get the ball on, like, the 3-yard line and try and power his way into the end zone. They're not doing a lot of that. Like, that's something that is now a big part of Buffalo's game, was a big part of Carolina's game with Newton. Jackson does stuff like that. You know, you see Jalen Hurts is always getting pushed around. Like, that's, you know, that's like the Philly thing. But you're not seeing that much with Drake May so far, and I'm wondering if that's not something that they're going to maybe start incorporating here, because eventually you get into the red zone, you don't have a lot of good red zone targets, you have guys that you can't run around for 12 seconds that often. Eventually, he's going to have to go and pick up those yards himself. And I'm wondering, his first scramble, maybe the first or the second one, I can't remember, he lowered his shoulder, went right into the defender.
Yeah.
He didn't slide. He didn't, you know, flop down.
I would say at least two of the eight.
He went right for the contact. Yeah, and it was him initiating it.
Yes, and I'm fine with that. I'm asking for that. Do it smartly. Do it appropriately. Just because you hit a guy doesn't mean it's a big hit. There can be glancing blows.
Right.
Like, you can still make contact. I thought two of them led to a little more contact than I would like. They had a couple he got out of bounds, couple, like, he was fine on a few of them. In terms of the design runs, Alex Van Pelt actually talked about that last Thursday, and I think was sort of honest in a way that surprised me, in that he basically said, we know the pass protection stinks so bad.
Right.
He's going to have to run a certain percentage of times. If we then scheme in runs for him, now 8 scrambles plus 5 runs, do we want him running 13, 14 times a game, putting himself in harm's way? Those QB draws and things that Cam Newton and guys run, you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
A, he's not big yet. I think he will put on weight and get bigger.
Yeah.
Like, I got to think.
He's tall. He's not big. Right.
Yeah. He's going to put on some, like, 20s, early 20s weight over the next couple of years that I think will probably add 10, 15, 20 pounds to him. But I also think those runs will come when they believe the offensive line is better.
Yeah.
And he can pass without assuming a quarter of the dropbacks are going to end in scrambles. When you have faith in your pass protection, then I think they're going to scheme up some of those runs, and I think it'll become a weapon. Because now they can choose when to do it. They can formation how they want to do it. But I don't, and I think those will also come when you're playing games that mean something.
Sure.
Because that's always been the debate in Buffalo. Hey, Josh Allen, how about we don't run in September? Why don't we save that for December, January, and fingers crossed, February, right? This team's not playing meaningful football games. Sorry. They mean to them, right? Each guy that plays. But when the line is better and when the games are more important, I think you'll see more design Drake May runs. Unfortunately, that's 2025 at the earliest.
Yeah, probably. Cotto's in Boston. Go ahead, Cotto.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Cotto?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, so just wanted to call in, talk about Drake May, and I definitely agree with what you guys were saying about how, you know, he kind of has no option right now but to run. So you can't really blame him on that. One thing that I don't think is talked about enough is what Tom Brady talks about all the time, and that's protecting your receivers. Obviously, he's young, he's a rookie, and he's going to be learning. But I do think that a lot of the time he doesn't protect the receivers. For example, Jamichael Hasty yesterday, I think it was pretty obvious that he was going to get absolutely cracked, so you should probably just throw it away. But not only that, Hunter Henry, he threw him a ball down the middle that was just to chop his legs off, and after you could see Hunter Henry was bothered about it. And I think that, like, you know, that's something that he's going to have to get better at. Hopefully next year we're going to get, you know, maybe a true number one receiver or a high draft pick to come in and catch the ball. And I think that, you know, to build that connection and to last a while with a receiver, you're going to have to protect them. And that's something Tom Brady talked about all the time. And, I mean, I think he's going to be able to get that. I just I think that, like you guys said, though, to the other point, is that, you know, next year at the earliest, they will be able to design runs for him. But right now he's playing behind such a bad offensive line that he doesn't really have the opportunity to say, hey, look, I'm going to stay in the pocket. I'm going to throw the ball. Right now it's more so scramble, look up. Nobody's there, obviously, because our receivers are trash, and he's got to run. So he's going to be taking those hits. It's just a matter of time. You know, next year he's going to be able to get that help. But, you know, Bob Kraft has to step up, open that wallet, and quote-unquote burn some cash.
Thank you for the call, Cotto, and I agree with you. I think that that's certainly what we all want to see. We all want to see a number one receiver here next year. I wanted to see one here this year, and I think you could have. I think if you'd really committed to it and made a point of emphasizing that and emphasizing the offensive line. Right now, Drake May has no run game. He has no wide receivers. He has no offensive line, and he has the most inexperienced coaching staff in the entire NFL.
Other than that, how was the play?
Other than that, things are great. But, I mean, that's – you talk about setting your guy up for success. You talk about, you know, it's all about developing Drake May. You're developing him against all odds, you know? Like, there's no reason why he should be developing here aside from his God-given talent, which is right now, and I think his attitude and everything else has been part of it, has been why he's successful so far. And I say successful in the sense that people watch him and think, yeah, this guy belongs in the NFL. The team's not successful. His numbers aren't great. They took a step back, certainly, in this game here. He barely cracked 200 yards.
He's the first Patriots quarterback since Vito Babe Parilli in the 60s to have 200 yards passing and 90 yards rushing.
Great.
Historic. You're seeing things you haven't seen in five decades.
Cool. Well, yeah.
That's a team Hall of Famer.
Him and Babe Parilli can go party and celebrate that, I'm saying.
The late great.
Fine. Well, then I guess maybe you can. I don't know who Babe Parilli is. I don't know. I've never.
He was their best quarterback in the 60s.
Okay.
Open a book every once in a while. Geez, they got a media guide. Read it. In regards to Tom Brady used to talk a lot about hospital balls. You know what else he used to do? Throw them.
Yep.
He would get Welker killed, he would get Edelman killed, he would get Gronk killed.
Troy Brown, you got all of them. Yeah.
This is not a shot at Tom Brady. If you're going to throw passes in the NFL, you're going to throw hospital balls.
Yeah, and ask Derek Carr and Chris Olave about
Derek
that.
Derek Carr, Peyton Manning, every quarterback I've ever seen throws hospital balls. I didn't think the Hasty one was a hospital ball. It was a play we saw coming because the safety was coming from about 15 yards, and he's like, oh, they're going to swing it to Hasty. He was full sprint out of the defensive backfield. The Hunter Henry one, I'm sorry, that's the reality of playing down the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a tight end.
Tight end in the middle of the field, it's going to happen.
I thought he tore his ACL. When they showed the replay, his knee kind of bent and his reaction, I thought you might have lost your only legitimate target. And
imagine losing him.
I think that might be the biggest victory of the day, that he got back out on the field and was able to go. And then, if you remember, I think it was later, might have been before, sorry, but there was that sweet throw down the left sideline where he ran the out and up down the sideline, Henry did, and May hit him right in the hands. There was a one hand in by a DB.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty throw.
It's a good throw.
It's a tough catch for a tight end like Hunter Henry. I actually think a top receiver makes that play, a playmaking type. But do you think Drake May has thrown like this inordinate number of hospital balls?
I hadn't thought that. No.
I don't think he's thrown one where I was like, oh, he's getting somebody killed. This guy sucks.
I think he throws guys open. I think he'll overthrow guys sometimes. He underthrew Booty at the end there. But I think in general, he does the opposite of that. I think hospital balls are when you just sort of hang it up there and your guy has to go over the middle and everybody's converging on all at once. I don't remember a lot of throws like that.
And there's also less hospital balls in the NFL now because of the way the game is played.
No, unless you're on the Saints.
Well, no, they're still going to. But there was one last night. I don't know if you watched the Rams game. I believe it was the Rams game.
I saw the end of the Rams game, that walk-off touchdown. That was cool.
A little bit before, Matthew Stafford threw to a spot
where he clearly didn't see like a deep safety, mm-hmm. and his guy's running over the shoulder, mm-hmm. and the guy went for the pick. In the old days, it was a hospital ball.
Yeah.
He would have absolutely, but the guy, you're not really allowed to hit like that anymore.
Someone needs to tell Jalen Hawkins that too, by the way.
Why? There was no penalty.
There wasn't?
No.
I thought he got flagged for that.
They picked it up.
They picked it up.
I don't ever want to hear Patriots fans bitch again.
They did. They picked it up.
Jalen Hawkins and Keon White both got away with some serious penalties, so I don't want to hear bitching about
it. I forgot. You're right. They did pick that one up. Never mind. I had that one in my notes.
To me, that was black and white. That was 2024. That's a penalty 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah, it was a college game. You're getting thrown out for that.
Right.
617-779-7937. When we return, Drake May took a lot of accountability. How much of the stuff that happened today, or yesterday, I should say, was his fault? We'll get into that right after this. Drake May postgame. This is a pretty heavy Drake May show, in case you haven't noticed yet so far. It's basically the whole show's been about Drake May. And it should be. I mean, it was the type of game where you see the duality of all of this. He took a lot of accountability after the game. He didn't have a great game, I thought. Those were costly turnovers. A game-ending turnover, to be sure. I said at the beginning of the year, Andy, that I wasn't going to overreact to a rookie making rookie mistakes, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to overreact to it. But you got to react to it a little bit. You can't not react at all, you know? I'm not saying you are. But a lot of people are just, no big deal. I didn't see it. Who cares? You know, those things don't matter. They do matter. I'm not going to overreact to them, but you do have to react somewhat. And they lost them the game at the end there. I mean, that was a bad throw, and that was it. They had a chance to go down and win, not just tie it. They had a chance to go down there, score a touchdown, and win that game against the defense that they had just had a long drive against. So, you know, like, that was, he had three turnovers. They were all, I think, his fault. I know we disagree on at least one of them. But he did take a lot of accountability after the game. I thought that was the right move for him. Throwing guys under the bus, especially when you're a rookie, is a real bad look. And I thought they were his fault to take accountability for anyway. So that stood out to you a lot, though. You said it was his best day, not his best game, but his best day in part because of how he was after them.
I thought he was better after the game than he was during the game. And I thought he was pretty good during the game, all things considered, things that are put on his plate. The one thing I will say in terms of the on-field ups and downs that we're seeing and going to see through the remainder of the season, fingers crossed, as long as he's out there, is that, and I believe Mayo when he says this, like, he doesn't feel Drake May's an error repeater and he's going to make the same mistakes in the same way over and over again, like pounding his head against the wall, that he will learn and he will adjust and he will do things differently. And I think there's some truth to that. I don't know if you can think, is there any thread of mistakes you're seeing that you don't like?
Let's see. I don't think that I haven't loved his accuracy on short passes, though I do think it was a little bit better in that game yesterday. It wasn't great, but I think it's improving. He's working on it. You know, not really. Not in terms of something that I look at and think he's got to get that out of his game completely.
Same.
There's not a lot of that. The footwork, I don't know how to judge that. But like,
nobody does. So
he's going downfield. He's throwing like it's 50-50, I think, whether it's going to be a good ball down the field or not, or whether it's going to be a big completion. And 50% of that doesn't even have anything to do with him.
Correct.
It's the time he has to throw it. It's the guy he's throwing it to, whatever. But sometimes it's not a great throw. You know, I mean, it's just that. But it's not anything that I look at and say, if he doesn't stop doing this, he's never going to make it in the NFL. So you're right. I agree with you there.
Which I think is good, because there was one thing I thought throwing to the right in the summer was an issue. Like, I thought he had an exaggerated hitch and dip thing in his right shoulder that I haven't honestly noticed recently. I haven't noticed since he started playing game reps, if we're being honest. And that's good to me that I don't remember that. I thought that might be an issue. The short throws, I think, will come. I think some of that is just reps and footwork and where your eyes need to be and all of that. And I've said it all along, I think you're going to have to balance the fact with sometimes he throws off balance.
Yep.
Sometimes he throws off platform, and that's going to be
his back foot. I mean,
right.
He's doing that all the time.
That's going to be an asset. As long as it's an asset like 80% of the time and then a question mark 20% of the time, I think you live and die by that, right? Like, every quarterback has strengths and weaknesses and sort of a nobody's perfect. I like that from him. So for me personally, as his personal apologist or whatever you want to call it, there has not been anything that I would say, I see what this offseason, they're really going to have to work on that. The footwork thing, I think footwork's the most overrated thing that people analyze, because I think 99% of the people have no idea what they're looking for or looking at. And generally,
well, you know, if someone's throwing off their back foot a lot, I guess. But
right.
Like, you know.
But if he throws a touchdown, it's fine.
Yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally, people seem to base it off the result.
Yeah.
If he throws a pick, I throw off his back foot.
You can step up and still throw a touchdown.
Same exact, right? But like this, you can
still
step up and throw a pick.
Yeah, right.
You can drop back and throw a touch. Like, you know what I mean? People base it on the result. So I still think we're learning what his skills are. But my biggest takeaway, and I think this is a good thing to say, and maybe you'll say, everybody's saying it across the NFL about their rookie quarterbacks. You took a guy number three overall, and there was some debate as to whether he should go number three overall.
Yep.
Does anybody feel worse today about Drake May than they did on draft day or at any other point?
Like, no, I think everyone feels – I certainly feel
so
better.
So that's a positive.
I feel much better than I did at the time.
It's literally
– I feel worse about the team around him, but I feel good about him.
It's literally a net positive that he has played. Everybody looks at it and sees more to like. They feel better about the draft pick. And I think, by conjunction, feel better about the future. Because pretty much everybody believes if you have the quarterback, you've taken one giant leap for your franchise.
Sure, absolutely. I just realized something. Team meetings are getting over. May, Jones, those guys are going to be coming in here. We have not done our league leaders and who's circling the drain.
Oh, I want to do league leaders.
You want to do league leaders?
Good. And it's a silly one, but it's a great one.
Well, then let's take our weekly look at football's league leaders and who's circling the drain. Presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Who's leading the league?
Leading the league in things I've never seen before and successfully executing the first ever butt first hurdle was Saquon Barkley.
That was awesome.
I've watched a lot of football, and I know players are bigger, faster, stronger. They do things differently. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen anybody attempt that.
Right.
I don't even know how that went through his brain. Like, what I'm going to do, I'm going to spin, and then my back's going to be turned, and I'm going to jump backwards.
How did he know when to jump? Like, that was
no
crazy.
Idea. Yeah. You know what it looks like? Wrestling. You know when the guys are bouncing off the ropes and the guy
swings
them
up and he jumps? Yeah, it's exactly what that looked like. Yeah.
But this is an NFL field where they're not trying to work with you. They're trying to kill you.
Trying to hurt you.
That was the most remarkable thing I've seen on a football field. I think
that was like Spider-Man.
Yes.
Like, that's what it looked like, actual Spider-Man.
I think Saquon Barkley, he'll never get the credit because he's a running back, not a quarterback. I think he is the best player/athlete on an NFL field in 2024. He does some things that are remarkable. I saw a lot of tweets like, I just injured things watching him do these things. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's amazing. So he is leading the league in, like, wow, I've never seen that before.
All right, here's who's circling the drain. The rest of the NFL, the Patriots, Jaguars, Saints, Panthers, Browns, Raiders, Giants, Dolphins, and Titans. That's nine teams I just listed. All have two wins. We're 9 weeks into the season, and there are nine two-win teams in the NFL. That is gross. And the fact that the Patriots are currently the worst out of that whole group makes this whole
awesome.
Thing extra sad. I'm sorry. I know it's good for the draft pick and everything, but that makes it extra sad. And the only thing keeping me off the ledge this weekend was Drake May and that play at the end of the game. That was basically it. So there you go. The rest of the NFL, you kind of suck this year, NFL. You kind of suck. 9 2-win teams at the halfway point's pathetic. I don't know what to make of this, but that's where we are right now. NFL, circling the drain except for Saquon Barkley. So there you go. 617-779-7937. Team meetings are ending right now. I can't tell you exactly when Drake May is coming in here, but it's going to be soon here in this 4 o'clock hour. We look forward to talking with him, and we'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 next.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.